Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be with you here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and let's begin a new course of study for the time allotted before us today. I want to invite you to come be with us any chance you may have at the Arlington Church of Christ once you know that you are our honored guest. And want you to study again with us any chance that you may have here on this program, Reading the Word. You can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. This is 111-111. They're all arranged by air date, and so you can go back and study this one or any of the others preceding it. Would love for you to do that. You can even share it with a friend if you feel so kindly to do so. I want to look at the Gospel according to Mark today as time allows itself, and I'll be reading from the King James Translation. I encourage you to grab your copy of the book of Mark and study along with us, if you will. Mark has an interesting place in my mind, at least as we look at the New Testament. Of course, there's four books of the New Testament. The first four all tell the same story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew wrote to a Jewish audience, and that's very obvious when he'll explain certain things in a certain way. Mark wrote to a Greek or a Roman audience. Now, Matthew was an eyewitness. He was there hanging out. Mark was not. And so Mark is recounting the story that is told to him. There's different theories on just exactly whose story it is, but nonetheless, he is inspired to write this. Now, Mark is there in some of this, I should say that, but he's not hanging out with Jesus like Matthew is, certainly. Luke's a Gentile medical doctor. He comes along and writes about the human side of Christ. And John is unlike the other three. John, writing towards the end of the first century, he writes to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as you look in the book of Mark, here's why I like Mark, 16 chapters. So by default, he's the shortest gospel account. If I'm studying with someone and think I may only get one study out of it, I just show them Jesus in the book of Mark. He's short enough. He kind of bounces from topic to topic. He gets the info out there, don't get me wrong. But Mark doesn't just belabor the fact. He tells you what you need to know and then moves on. For instance, look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Where he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark told you in one verse what John spends 21 chapters proving to you. And John does a wonderful job. In fact, he has the best, in my opinion, argument for Jesus as being the Son of God himself. Mark just tells you he's the Son of God and says, "All right, I've told you he's Son of God. I got to move on with the story," and talks about how he was prophesied and moves onward. So Mark is kind of unique in that aspect. Also, we see the word some 41 times, or a variation of it, the word immediately, straightway, or anon. That'd be another King James word for you. We find these are kind of key words in the book of Mark. Immediately, straightway. He's keeping forthwith, another one. He's keeping the story going. In fact, it's a fun study, and you can find these notes of this on my website, justinreedbible.com. That's Justin, R-E-E-D, justinreedbible.com. It's called Keyword in Mark. It's a handout if you want to do that, kind of compiled that through years of study. In my copy of Mark, I have underlined every time I see the word immediately or forthwith, straightway, one of those. So I kind of see, and it's underlined in blue, so it sticks out, at least in my copy, of how rapid Jesus worked. It moved from one thing to another. As we look at how Jesus worked, we look at how Mark worked, I want us to study in the book of Mark, primarily actually in this first chapter, I want us to look at how Jesus Christ worked. We know Jesus was foretold to come here. He lived about some 30 years working as a carpenter, and then when the fullness of time, as Paul tells those in Galatians 4, come, he began his earthly ministry, about 3 years, a little over 3 years of an earthly ministry. How did Jesus work? Number one, dear friends, he worked with wisdom. Jesus worked with wisdom. Pick up in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 14. "Now after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel.' Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net to the sea, for they were fishers, or fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, key word, they forsook their nets, and they followed him immediately. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother. They were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway, key word, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him. We see this elsewhere, but in the first chapter, Jesus works with wisdom. How? Well, he's wanting people to become fishers of men, so he finds those who are already fishermen. He says, you're good at being fishermen. I want you to come fish for me. Jesus is preaching that the kingdom is here. We know it's going to be established, Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church. But number one, Jesus works with wisdom. I think it'd be wise if you'd stick with us, dear friend. We got to take a quick break. Invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm honored to labor. And then we'll be back, continue talking about how Christ worked here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. You can find these programs, if you're just now joining us, anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs. This is titled How Christ Worked. It's program 111. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. Let's continue reading the Word. We've just given an overview. We're in the Gospel according to Mark. And number one, Christ worked with wisdom. That's Mark chapter 1, 14 through 20. But let's continue. How did Christ work? Number two, he worked with authority. Pick back up our story, Mark 1 and 21. They went into Capernaum, and straightway, key word, on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and Jesus taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice, and came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately, key word, his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. How did Jesus work? Well, the people around him said it there in verse 27. He worked with authority. Now, of course, he was working under the directive of God, doing what God had commanded him to do. Yet at the same time, what Jesus did was authoritative. When he commanded this demon to cry out, come out, the demon came out. And there was a noticeable difference in the possessed man, so much that the people were amazed how he taught with authority. He also taught, verse 22, with authority, not as the scribes when he's reading the law. The scribes had it memorized. Christ wrote the thing in essence. So it was all about him, so he could speak. He was the authority on that subject. See, Christ worked with wisdom, and he worked with authority. But let's keep going in Mark chapter 1, number 3. How did Christ work? He worked with compassion. Pick back up in verse 29. And forthwith, immediately, key word, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon with James and John. But Simon's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and anon, key word, they came to tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately, key word, the fever left her, and she ministered, cared for them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and the city was gathered all together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So how did Christ teach, or work, excuse me, with compassion? He's out there teaching, and somebody comes and says, Master, Peter, who you just called, 10-12 verses earlier. His mother-in-law is lying sick of a fever, and Christ immediately, verse 31, healed them. And when the sun went down, people got off of work. They came and brought to Christ those who were sick. Now, as an interesting side note, there are certain people who believe in the Pope, that he is ordained of God, and which I find no Pope mentioned in Scripture, dear friends. He's not in there. And they'll say that Peter was the first Pope, yet here it says, verse 30, Simon's wife's mother. Other passages just call her his mother-in-law. Now, I have a mother-in-law. I did not have a mother-in-law before I was married. Although I knew my mother-in-law before I was married, I did not have her as my mother-in-law until I got married. Yet the Pope cannot be married, dear friends. Just another nail in the coffin to prove that Peter was not the first Pope. Peter's, that's not his job. He is a gospel preacher. He's supposed to serve the Lord in that capacity. But when his mother-in-law is sick, notice Christ has compassion. That's how he works, number three, and heals her. Number four, how does Christ work? Stay with me in Mark 1 and verse 35. Rising in the morning, getting up a great while before day, Jesus went out, departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. How did Jesus work, dear friends? He worked with prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. Here he gets up before it's day, before the rest of the world is stirring. That's why I love the mornings. It gives me time. I can get up and kind of have a morning meditation before I have to go into work. Christ worked in prayer. You know, Christ saw prayer so important. Before he chose his 12 apostles, spent the entire night in prayer. And before he was betrayed and killed, he spent the whole night in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Christ worked with prayer. But we close out number 5. Go with me almost to the end of Mark. Mark chapter 15 and verse 37. Mark 15 and verse 37, how did Jesus work? He has been tried 6 times, 3 before Jews, 3 before Romans. Jews try to find him guilty, Romans find him innocent, they condemn him to death. Pilate's just trying to please the people, washes his hands of the matter, if you will. He hangs upon that cross from 9 a.m. in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon in agony and pain, struggling to breathe, suspended between heaven and earth. 7 sayings are uttered by Christ, recorded for us on the cross. After he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. King James talked for he died. How did Jesus work? Number 5, lastly, he worked until death. There was not a point in his life, once he started his earthly ministry, well, even before then, really, there was not a point in the life of Christ where he did not work. He worked until his final breath, and actually, to continue the story of Christ, he worked after that final breath as well. He came back defeated to the grave. Hallelujah, Christ arose. But Christ continued to work. What have we seen in the book of Mark? How did Christ work? And there are other supporting scriptures, but dear friends, I believe this will suffice for our study today. Number 1, Christ worked with wisdom. He knew who to call. He knew how to call them. He knew his job. We often say in the world of business, plan your work and work your plan. That's wise. That's what Christ did. Number 2, how did Christ work? It was with authority. Even those around him were acknowledging that. Number 3, how did Christ work, dear friends? He worked with compassion. He healed those who were sick, and he loved them. Number 4, Christ worked with prayer. And dear friends, I would encourage you to be like Christ and work with prayer as well. And then lastly, as we just talked about, Christ worked until death, until his final breath. Well, since, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, he is to be our example, our pattern, our mold for us, then we should work with wisdom, authority, compassion, prayer, and death, the authority found in God's Word. Dear friends, I appreciate you being with us here on today's course of study. I hope it's been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. We'd love to see you sometime at the Church of Christ there at Arlington. Come visit us if you have the chance. And I do hope that you'll join us again next week on this program, same time, same place. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.